Abba Father, you.
Welcome. You're listening to Living Faith Podcast.
Starry sky and see your hand in time in mind to lead me through the night.
Look what the word of the Lord says here. Scripture records the descendants of Judah were Perez, Hezron, Carmi, Hur, and Shobal. Shobal's son, Reiah, was the father of Jahath. Jahath was the father of Ahumai and Lehed. These were the families of the Zorathites. If you were in Thursday's faith group this week, you know that this kind of scripture is some of my wife's favorite portions of scripture. Verse number 3, the descendants of Etam were Jezreel, Ishma, Idbash, their sister Hazeloponi, Penuel, the father of Gedor, and Ezer, the father of Husha. These were the descendants of Hur, the firstborn of Ephrathah, the ancestor of Bethlehem. Verse 5, Asher, the father of Tekoa, had two wives named Helah and Naarah. Naarah gave birth to Hayuzam, Hefer, Temeni, and Hahashtari. Helah gave birth to Zereth, Izhar, Ethnan, and Kaz, who became the ancestor of Anub, Zobadah, and all the families of Aharel, son of Haram. Verse 9, there was a man named Jabez, who was more honorable than any of his brothers. His mother named him Jabez because his birth had been so painful. He was the one who prayed to the God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me and expand my territory. Please be with me in all that I do and keep me from all trouble and pain." And God granted him his request. Verse 11, Caleb, the brother of Shuha, was the father of Meher. Meher was the father of Eshton. Eshton was the father of Bethrephah, Paseah, and Tahina. Tahina was the father of Enahash. These were the descendants of Rekah. The sons of Kenaz were Othniel and Serah. Othniel's sons were Hahath and Meonothai. Meonothai was the father of Ophrah. Serah was the father of Joab, the founder of the Valley of Craftsmen, so called because they were craftsmen. The sons of Caleb, son of Jephunneh, were Iru, Elah, and Nahum. The son of Elah was Kenaz. The sons of Jehalalel were Ziph, Ziphah, Teriah, and Asarel. And if some of you are thinking, "My God, how long is he going to go on like that?" Truth is, the rest of the chapter goes on like that. Chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7, chapter 8, chapter 9 goes on just like that. The section's the same, name after name after name. In fact, before these verses in chapter 4, chapters 1, chapters 2, and chapter 3, all these genealogies, just like this one, family names, relatives, on and on and on, three chapters into the fourth chapter. And then in the middle of all those names, so much heritage, so many generations, is the short story of Jabez. There was a man, verse 9, named Jabez, who was more honorable than any of his brothers. His mother named him Jabez because his birth had been so painful. He was the one who prayed to the God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me and expand my territory. Please be with me in all that I do and keep me from all trouble and pain." And God granted him his request. This is Jabez's only mention in Scripture. Nothing more is known about Jabez. Interestingly, in these long lines of names and families and connections. We're not given Jabez's father's name, his mother's name, his siblings' names. We don't know if he was married and had children of his own. In the middle of all these detailed family lineages is the story of Jabez. Now, some scholars assume this, that Jabez was well known to the people to whom the book of Chronicles was written. In other words, he was famous in his time. Either everybody just knew him, or there had been previous documents that we don't know about that talked about this man, Jabez, suggesting that, you know what, I'm going to just talk about Jabez right now, and everybody will know who I'm talking about. Kind of like preachers who come through this church and mention other preachers as if everybody here has in their memories a list of preachers across North America. That's what they wrote about Jabez. Everybody will know who Jabez is. We're just simply informed that he's more honorable than his brothers. We're left to assume that he's honorable because he sought the Lord, and then we're provided his prayer. Now, the Hebrew words for Jabez, the name, and pain are similar. We find in the scripture, it tells us that due to the pain of childbirth, his mother named her son Pain, man of pain, man of sorrow. Her pain, her sorrow was his fault. And evidently, she was never going to forget it, and neither did she want him to forget it. So she calls him Pain. Wow. Talk about giving the boy some baggage. Why not name the boy Swollen Ankles or Hypertension? Let's just call the boy Expensive. Jabez. Every time his name is called, the boy hears pain and sorrow. Jabez, are you hungry? Pain, come over here. Let's brush your teeth. Jabez, clean up your toys. Pain, take out the garbage. Jabez, have you finished your math homework? All the time. Every day throughout his life, the boy is reminded, you are a pain. Wow. No wonder the man prays for change. It's likely that Jabez was born in Babylon. Now, Babylon is the country that had conquered Israel and for 70 years had held them captive in their own country. It's likely that Jabez was born in captivity in Babylon. He was raised, if you will, in a painful place. The book of Chronicles that we just read to you from and will again is written to the Jews who are returning to their homeland. They are leaving Babylon now and they're going back to Jerusalem and the area of Judah that they came from. They had been shamefully in exile. They had been a conquered people, a diminished people for 70 years, beat down by their captors. And so these returning Jewish people headed back to this place. It's no doubt they could relate to a prayer by a man named Pain. They lived in pain as well, and they certainly could relate to a prayer of a man who said, oh, Lord, that you would bless me and expand my territory. Please be with me in all that I do and keep me from all trouble and pain. Protect me as we head into this new adventure. It's as if your will, he was praying like this, God of heaven, change the label that my mama gave me. Change the experience that I've been living for these 70 years. Change my destiny, Lord. So Chronicles, it's written to a group of people who wanted to leave pain behind. And so 1 Chronicles chapter 1, verse number 1, here's how the book begins. Are you ready? The descendants of Adam were Seth, Enosh, Kenan, Mahalalel, Jared, Enoch, Methuselah, Lamech, and Noah. The sons of Noah were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. How's that for an opening of a book? Gonna be a page turner, isn't it? We're accustomed to some sentences that begin a book or a story to grab our attention, to be fascinating to us, to reel us into the story. But this opening, not so much. For the first readers, the first hearers of this book, it did grab their attention. Because those who first heard these words highly valued genealogies. The form that a genealogy can take can be in different forms. It can be linear or it can be segmented. A linear genealogy goes from grandfather to father to child. So Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That kind of genealogy is to validate the youngest person according to their ancestors. But then there's also a segmented genealogy. So it compares siblings. So it shows the branches of a family relationship. So we say Jacob and Esau, the brothers. It shows the branches. The book of Chronicles contains both of those kinds of different genealogies. The other thing about a genealogy is it doesn't have to include everybody. It'll have bits and portions and segments. It won't necessarily be so from date A all the way to date Z, we got everybody included. No, it's enough there to prove the point that the author's trying to prove. Now, the Israelites are coming back from captivity. 70 years, more than a generation in Bible times. They've been living in captivity. They needed to be reminded of their roots. They're going back to Jerusalem, and when they were conquered, Jerusalem was devastated, destroyed by the conquering army. The whole province where they live, the province of Judah, the area of Judah, it's nothing to be proud about. They had left Jerusalem. It was a prominent city, but no more. Now it seems like a wasteland rather than the promised land. So the genealogy reminds Israel that God is still active. God has always had you, Israel, in his mind. Way back from the beginning with Adam, and that's where Chronicles starts. God had a purpose and a plan even from the very beginning, and he's not going to forget his people. So the genealogies talk about the history of Israel, and it's not, again, to put dates, but to show the roots of Israel's present in their past. And when Chronicles then lists a name, like all of those names I just read and many more, it's reminding Israel of stories. It's reminding Israel of the lives lived. It's reminding memories of God's faithfulness throughout history. These demonstrate his faithfulness. They prove God's love for Israel. In fact, God is faithful to Israel even when Israel isn't faithful to them. Genealogies highlight Israel's identity. Let me just, again, reiterate a few of the names in Chronicles. They're not on the screen. Just listen. Descendants of Adam, Seth, Enosh, Kenan, Mahalalel, Jared, Enoch, Methuselah, Lamech, and Noah. In another place, so this is a family line descended from Shem, Eber, Peleg, Reu, Sarug, Nahag, Terah, and Abram, later known as Abraham. Sons of Israel, or Jacob, Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, and various ones. Later it says the children of Amram were Aaron, Moses, and Miriam. Now to you and I, these genealogies, we're reading through the scripture. Come on, we want to skip over that part. When we're reading through the Bible, perhaps I don't need to read that. Let's get to some stories, some things that connect, some things that I can relate to. But these things are powerful. We might see it as like trying to read the dictionary. But the impact is significant because the Israelites who heard this, Their family lineage was a certificate of membership. You see, in that ancient culture, they were an individualism like we are in the United States, in the Western world. In our culture, in our understanding, it's all about me. It's all about what I do and what I accomplish and what I want. But in that ancient society, it was about the group. And not just the solidarity with the group right here, right now, but the group as represented in time. So back in the history and also the forward legacy showed continuity to the hearers of the Chronicles. It explained their current situation in light of the past. It gave meaning to what we're living in right now in light of the past. Genealogies reflect the story of Israel, the story of God among his people, real stories. So in that context, in that understanding, right in the middle, we get the story of pain. We get the story of Jabez. And in 1 Chronicles 4:9, I'll bring it to you yet again. There was a man named Jabez who was more honorable than any of his brothers. His mother named him Jabez because his birth had been so painful. He was the one who prayed to the God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me and expand my territory. Please be with me in all that I do and keep me from all trouble and pain." And God granted him his request. Perhaps that's the element that grabs our attention more powerfully than the rest. So we see God granted his request, and the temptation for you and I might be this. Well, let's figure out what it means when he says, "Bless me, God." Let's figure out what it means when he says, "Expand my territory." Let's try to decipher the impact of what it means to be with me and keep me from pain and turmoil, to protect me. But listen to me today. If we would examine his prayer like that, we would limit the value of his prayer. I want us to appreciate this simple point today, that Jabez's prayer is bigger than just the three or four things he listed in those couple of sentences. I want us to recognize today that the man was praying something more profound. Smack in the middle of these genealogies is Jabez and his prayer. The location is significant. He's connected to Israel's value for the past, the remembering of their stories and of the victories and of the covenant and of the promises in the past. Jabez's name is listed right along with Noah. And so when the Chronicles was read and the name Noah was mentioned, the audience would think about Noah and think about God's interaction with Noah. And they would remember something like this from the book of Genesis chapter 9, where the Lord made a promise to Noah. The Lord said, "I hereby confirm my covenant," looky here, "with you and your descendants, with all the animals on the boat, the birds, the livestock, the wild animals, every living creature on earth." Verse 11, "I'm confirming my covenant with you. Never again will floodwaters kill all the living creatures." Then God said in verse 12, "I'm giving you a sign of my covenant with you and with all living creatures. Look, and for all generations to come, I've placed my rainbow in the clouds. It's a sign of my covenant with you and with all the earth." And so when the Israelites heard the name Noah, their minds would recall that the Lord had promised some things to Noah. He'd promised blessing. He promised protection. And it was to all generations and to all the earth. The genealogy was read and reviewed. Hearers in Israel hear the name of Abraham. When they hear the name Abraham, it's not just the name. It's not just the phonetics, not just the spelling. But they remember God made some promises to Abraham. And they remember perhaps promises like this in Genesis chapter 12, where the Lord said to Abraham, "I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous. You will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. There's blessing and protection in that promise. Two chapters later in chapter 17, the Lord said to Abraham, I will confirm my covenant with you and your descendants after you from generation to generation. This is an everlasting covenant. I will always be your God and the God of your descendants after you. Look at verse 8. I will give the entire land of Canaan where you now live as a foreigner to you and your descendants. It'll be their possession forever, and I will be their God. You see, when you heard the name Abraham, it reminds those hearers the Lord promised he was going to be with him and expand him and bless him and protect him from generation to generation. And that genealogy was read. You and I go through those names, and we don't know beans about those people. And every now and then we know some of the highlights, and even some of those in Israel who didn't pay as much attention to God as they should. And they heard names like Noah and Abraham, it resonated. Then there was a name, Moses. You heard the name of Moses in the genealogies, and they go back to the time of Moses. They go back to the promises the Lord gave to Moses. In Exodus 23, the Lord said, my angel will go before you, bring you into the land of the Amorites, Hittites, Perizzites, Canaanites, Hivites, and Jebusites, so you may live there, and I will destroy them completely. A couple verses later, the Lord said, you must serve only the Lord your God. If you do, I will bless you with food and water. I will protect you from illness. There will be no miscarriages or infertility in your land, and I will give you long, full lives. The Lord promised Moses blessing and expansion and protection. And I know I've read a lot of scripture, but I want you to know I could read a whole lot more. This is just a few of the samplings of the long list of names that Israel recollects. There were real people with real stories and the Lord's real promises to them that he fulfilled and kept in his covenant. And strategically, right at that point, the chronicler, the author of the book, includes Jabez's prayer as an illustration, suggesting that everyone who reads and listens to the genealogies would grasp their meaning. Pray like Jabez prayed. Oh, that you would bless me and expand my territory. Please be with me in all that I do and keep me from all trouble and pain. That reminder is not that you and I would pray exactly those words, exactly like Jabez, that there's a concept that's going on here. You see, Jabez's prayer was not his own prayer. Jabez wasn't formulating some new list of personal desires. Jabez wasn't coming to the Lord and says with a unique thought, here's some things I'm going to pray about. No, that's not what happened. Jabez's prayer was Israel's prayer. Jabez was praying a summation of the promises of God that I just read to you. In Jabez's prayer, you hear God's promise to Moses. In Jabez's prayer, you hear God's promise to Abraham. In Jabez's prayer, you hear echoes of God's promise to Noah and his covenants to the historical people of Israel. So you see, when Jabez prays, here's what he's praying. He's just cashing checks that God has written to his people over the centuries. He's claiming the promises of God that were made to his people over the generations. There's something that clicked. Something that clicked in Jabez's mind. In light of the genealogies, their God is my God. Their stories are my story. Their victories are my victory. Their promises are my promises. In essence, here's what Jabez is praying. Oh, Lord of glory, I am claiming everything that you promised to your people throughout time. Oh, Lord of glory, I read it. I understand it. I know it. I heard it. I recognize your promises. And that's what I'm praying. You said you would bless your people. I'm claiming that promise. You said you'd protect your people. I'm claiming that promise. You said you'd expand our territory. I am claiming the promises you've already issued. So when you see at the end of that prayer, when it simply records, God granted his request. There's no magic potion there. Of course, the Lord granted his request because he was simply praying what God had already promised. He wasn't praying for some new thing, some different thing, some random thing, some personal thing, something that, you know what, is only for me and mine, but rather he was praying, Lord, you promised it, and I'm going to claim it. And God responds, you're right. It's part of my promise. It's part of my proclamation. And if you desire it and you proclaim it and you reach for it, you can cash that check all day long because the promises of God are yea and amen. They are good throughout eternity. God transformed Jabez's life, changed his mama's label, changed his painful experience. He changed Jabez's destiny. And by the hand of God, a man who only knew sorrow and pain is now first recorded as more honorable than his brother. It's Jabez's story. As we've asked throughout this series, what's that have to do with me? How does that impact my story? What do I take away from Jabez's story? I've come to recognize, as have you, that we may or in fact have experienced a place, pain and trouble. Like Jabez, we may carry family baggage and sorrow. Can I inspire each and every one of us today that revelation of Jabez needs to be our revelation? That each of us would know and clearly understand that our place of captivity, our place of sorrow and pain, the years of baggage and turmoil, that is not the Lord's design. That is not what he intends. Rather, there's no need to dwell in captivity and pain, but the word of God is filled with the promises of God. Somebody hear me today. There are covenants in here for you and for me. There are blessings in here for you and for me. As Brother Mark said, great are the benefits of following the Lord. There are fulfillments and prophecies in this word intended for you and I. And I preach today, if you've not already aligned your life with Christ, turn to him. Turn to him today. Leave Babylon behind. I'm inspiring somebody today. If you can relate to Jabez's story and you want out of that experience, if you can relate to the pain and the sorrow and the challenge and the decades of trauma, I'm inviting you today, the call of Christ, join the family. A good people, the genealogy of God's people is meant to extend to every human being. All are invited to join and enter into the family of God. Christ's genealogy is available. When being preached to on the day of Pentecost, Peter was sharing the power of Christ. And that audience records in verse 37 of Acts 2 that the crowd said, "Brothers, What should we do? And Peter replied, each of you must repent of your sins, turn to God, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. What's that all about, preacher? That's about being born anew, born into the kingdom of God, leaving behind my old genealogy, my past in Babylon, my former experience, and stepping into a new birth in the kingdom of God, where I turn my back on the past and I am cleansed in the name of Jesus, and I am filled with the life-changing eternal power of the Holy Spirit and born into a family of God. Well, if that's not your experience today, I hope you make it your experience today. As Jesus adopts all who want out of Babylon, Jesus desires every human to be his child. And let me just share this final bit. We're going to pray as a body of Christ. I'm preaching to remind us today, even if we've already entered into Christ's kingdom, I'm taking the place of the chronicler today. The author of Chronicles wrote some things down to remind some people. I'm preaching today to remind children of God that you are part of something bigger, sort of part of something that has been around since the creation of humanity. Remember who we are in Christ. How important is it to remember the genealogy? How important is it to look back and to think about where we came from and the blessings before us? Well, interestingly, the same way that First Chronicles begins is the same way the New Testament begins. Matthew 1:1, the opening of the New Testament, the first gospel. This is a record of the ancestors of Jesus the Messiah, a descendant of David and of Abraham. And that goes on for 16 verses until at verse 16, Jacob was the father, the husband of Mary. Mary gave birth to Jesus, who is called the Messiah. And because of the Messiah, you and I can be included in the Lord's grand vision. Paul explained it like this in Romans chapter 8. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba, Father. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying, people of God, think about the genealogies. I'm saying, recognize the power in the thousands and tens of thousands of names who have walked in the promises of God. Real people who have experienced the promises of God and the power of God. I preach today to remind you, you and I are not just living in 2023 in our little cul-de-sac of our families and our circumstance. I preach to somebody today, we are part of generations of the kingdom of God and the people of God. I preach to somebody today when you're thinking, my Jerusalem is burned over and my area of Judah doesn't seem like much and my promised land looks more like a meager meadowland, not much promise. I preach to you today, you are a child of God. I preach to you today that Israel's God is our God, that Jabez's God is our God, that their stories are our stories and their promises are our promises. Most of you are too young to remember, but I remember being a child in a congregation, a song leader and the pastor of my youth being fired up about an old hymn that simply said, every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. And I am trusting in his love divine, every promise in the book is mine. I'm inspiring this great group of folks in the house of God today to follow Jabez's example and pray the promises of God. claim his promises for your life. Here's what I'll guarantee you. Just like for Jabez, when you pray what God has already promised, it's granted. He's already it's already it stands on its own. Pray his promises and it will be granted. I'm inviting you to call on the name of the Lord. Jesus said this, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. You know what that is? That's a promise. And when you're feeling alone and when you're feeling hopeless and you're feeling below your problems, you need to pray that promise. Lord, you said you wouldn't leave me alone, but you would come to me, and I'm claiming that promise. Being filled with the power of the Spirit, Peter preached, repent and be baptized, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The next verse says this, the promise is to you and your children and all that are afar off. That's a promise right there. Preacher, I'm not sure about the Holy Spirit. I'm not familiar with that. I don't know if that's for me. Hear me today. It's a promise. Go ahead and claim it. Jesus said, not a single sparrow can fall to the ground without your Father knowing it. Oh, you're thinking to yourself, I'm all out on a limb here. I'm on my own. Nobody knows where I'm at. Nobody knows what's going on. Nobody knows, as the old song said, the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows my sorrows. That's a lie. The Father knows who you are. He knows where you're at. You got a promise in the book that says his eye is on the sparrow. He's paying attention to you. Stand with me throughout this audience today. I could go on and on and on, and you can probably tell by my energy and enthusiasm today. But we're going to begin to pray here. And I want you to notice this. When the disciples said to Jesus, teach me how to pray. Here's what Jesus said. Here's how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When Jesus taught people how to pray, his opening statements were, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What are the promises? Just pray those. What are the dictates, the directions, the instructions? Just pray those. If you'll pray those, everything is going to play out. I don't know where you're at and what's going on and how you're facing things in your life right now. But if you want to claim some promises of God right now for your life, would you just step out of your pew, come up around the front right now and put your arms up in the air? Our music team is coming. But would you just come and reach out to the Lord right now? Pray in your own words, in your own fashion, in your own style. Lord, our promises, if your promises are real, I want them in my life. Come on, declare some promises of God over your household. Why don't you declare some promises of God over your experience, over your history? Come on, your history is not going to hold you down. You got a promise from God. Your past, your Babylon is not going to hinder you. You've got promises from God. Oh, that's it. Come on, I love it. Come on, mom and dad. Come on, husbands and wives. Come on, grandmas and grandpas. Claim the promises of God right now. Talk to the Lord right now. Move in this place right now. Lord, I declare your promises. I declare your promises, oh God. Oh, I recognize, Lord, I am part of something that is huge in this great eternity. I realize, Lord, I am part of a divine plan that has spanned over the centuries, that I am part of your great kingdom, oh Lord.
You've been listening to the Living Faith Everett podcast series. Tune in next week for the next part of this series, or join us online at livingfaithministries.church.
In the Holy Ghost, you give me peace.